Good to be here this evening. Thank the Lord for the opportunity. As you get older, traveling becomes a little more interesting. When the kids were small, traveling was always interesting, to say the least. But, today we stopped at McDonald's on the way here, and a little bit after we stopped at rest area. You do more of that also. And I put my 32-ounce Coke in the driver's seat, and when I came out, I forgot to look and sat right on it. So that slowed us down a little bit, but we're glad to be here this evening. The theme of the conference the last several years has been "We See Jesus," and oh, how we need to see Him. We need to see Him in such a way that has a lasting impact upon our entire being. I don't believe you can see Him without it having an impact upon your life. We need to see Him in such a way that transforms and shapes our lives. And the importance of you and I seeing Jesus is seen from the fact that He is the subject, He is the theme, He is the message, the Word of God. The Word of God is about His person, His work, His glory. The Bible is about Christ. And that's why Christ took the Scriptures on the Emmaus Road and expounded unto those two disciples all the Scriptures concerning Himself. It is the purpose of God, Colossians 1, verse 18, that in all things He have the preeminence. All the promises, all the blessings of God given to sinful men and women are in Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. We see also all the love, all the mercy, all the grace of God is found in Christ. Revelation and knowledge of the triune God is in Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. With all that being said, we need to see Him. We need to see Christ clearly. And as we see Him, we are brought to the place where we need to be. The theme this year is "We See Jesus," revealing His work in the book of Revelation. I'd like to speak this evening on "We See Jesus" as the revealer of Himself. We see Jesus as the revealer of Himself. And our message will be somewhat of a summation of the theme of the conference. For those who will be preaching following me, don't get nervous. I'll probably touch on every subject that is going to be preached on, but we're not going to say a whole lot about any one of those points. But we just want to see Jesus revealing Himself. The biggest challenge will be to keep it within the time frame, and if we don't, Brother Mark Jr. won't mind. So we won't worry about that too much. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, unto Christ, to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant, John. The The first point we want to point out, and I believe it's very important, is the subject and purpose of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation begins here by giving us the full title of the book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not the revelation of St. John. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That first line not only states the title of the book, I believe it states the subject of the book, the focal point, and the purpose of the book of Revelation. We also learn from verse 1 that the book contains things that God desires us to know about the future. It says, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. But I believe everything about the future is in light of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It all goes back to that first line, the revelation of Jesus Christ. For many, if not most, the book of Revelation is simply a happy hunting ground for prophecies regarding the Middle East and how these events fit in with the events of Revelation. And though it is true that the book has much to say about the events of the tribulation period, much to say about the Antichrist, much to say about the government and the economic system during that time, and most are very, very intrigued, even lost people are very intrigued by those things. But again, I believe everything in the book comes back to and is to be viewed in light of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the subject. In other words, don't miss Jesus in the book of Revelation. Don't miss him. The first line tells us that. Now, the word revelation means an unveiling, an uncovering, a disclosure, a making known for the purpose of being understood. So going back to that first line, the revelation, the unveiling, the uncovering, the disclosing, the making known of Jesus Christ. Now again, most approach the book of Revelation as if it is a great mystery. But it's not. It's a revelation. It's not a mystery. It's not a mysterious book. It is a revelation. It is the unveiling. It is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. So that first line, the revelation of Jesus Christ, raises the question. Does this refer to the content of the book? Or is it the revelation that Christ gives? In other words, is it a revelation about Christ? Or is it the revelation that Christ gives? I believe it's both. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's the revealer. Again, the theme is Christ's work in the book of Revelation. And one thing I see is his work in the book of Revelation is Christ is the revealer. Of who? Himself. He is the revealer and he is the revealed. He is the revealer. We see that from chapter 1 in verse 2. It is referred to as the testimony of Jesus Christ. That means he's the revealer. In Revelation 22 in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify of these things. So it's a testimony. It's a testimony of Jesus Christ. We also see that he's the revealer from Revelation 1 and verse 5. We see that it is from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness. We see in Revelation 19 and verse 13 that his name shall be called the Word of God. Well, a word is a means of revelation. Jesus Christ is the revealer. But he's also the revealed. And that is seen all through the book. That Jesus Christ is the revealer. So he's the revealer and he's the revelation. And though the book does speak of those things which must shortly come to pass and speaks at great lengths on those things, we must see Jesus visually presented in all the things that shall come to pass. And I believe if we miss that, we've missed the whole point of the book of Revelation. To me, that first line gives us the whole point of the book. The point of the book is not the tribulation period. The point of the book is not the Antichrist. The point of the book is not 666. The point of the book is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The revelation of Jesus Christ. We also see the original recipient of the revelation, of course, is John. He constantly, throughout the book, you can go through and count them, but constantly through the book, he uses such phrases as, I saw, I looked, I beheld, I heard. He's the recipient of the revelation. But all of those phrases indicates that he was made to know and he was brought to thoroughly feel the power and the reality of what was being unveiled, which is Jesus Christ. We see, again, John is the original recipient of the revelation. The ones who ultimately benefit from the revelation, we see in verse 1, are his servants. And then, of course, John would send the revelation to who? The Lord's churches. The Lord's churches. For the purpose of our edification. The book of Revelation wasn't written to scare us. It was written to the Lord's churches, to edify them, to strengthen his churches. So we see the purpose of the book. But again, my subject tonight is Jesus revealing himself through the book. Jesus' work of revealing himself in the book of Revelation really begins with verse 10 of chapter 1. Upon John hearing a voice, and as a result of what he heard, he says in verse 12, I turned to see. And being turned, I saw. Now leading up to verse 10 would be the prelude. And in that prelude, we are informed of the circumstances of the revelation that is given to us basically in verse 9. We see that it was a time of persecution, it was a time of opposition, it was a time of hostility to those who represented the Lord. But also in the prelude, leading up to the actual revelation, we are given some characteristics concerning the one who revealed himself. And we need to realize that the one who is being revealed through the book, this individual is described leading up to the revelation beginning in verse 10. First of all, in verse 1, the one who reveals himself is Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the Savior of his people. The one named Jesus has had an effect, has had an impact throughout the history of the world. There is not any time in history where Jesus has not had an effect and an impact. He's had an effect and an impact in all places. and upon all races of people. This one named Jesus has altered and reshaped the course of man more than any other one that's ever lived. Amen. Jesus. He's the one being revealed. He's the one revealing himself. No individual or anything has brought more lasting and drastic change than this one named Jesus. This one named Jesus has brought more comfort. He has brought more cheer. He has brought more hope than anything else. The one named Jesus, of course, the name Jesus is a saving name. Countless individuals have been rescued and set free and released and spared by this one named Jesus. The name Jesus is a devil-defeating name. It's a healing name. It's a death-conquering name. He's the one, again, that impacts and alters and transforms death and darkness and on you can go, hopelessness. He's the transformer of all these things. No one has made more of a difference than Jesus.
Amen.
And this is the revelation of Jesus. And he is the revealer of himself. But it goes on to say it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is, he's the anointed one. That is, he is the God-anointed Savior. He's the Redeemer. And what that means is that he is fully prepared. He is fully qualified. He is fully equipped to do the work that God sent him to do. And what was that? To redeem. To save his people from their sins. So this one named Jesus is the revealer of himself in the book of Revelation. And oh, how we need to see him. Jesus Christ. But as you read on, the one who reveals himself is also and is one who can be relied entirely upon and who is worthy to be believed. We read in Revelation 1 and verse 5, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He's a faithful witness. In other words, you can rely upon him. You can believe him. And this is the one that's being revealed here in the book of Revelation. The one who reveals himself is the preeminent and victorious one. Again, in verse 5, Jesus Christ, who is the first begotten of the dead. He's preeminent. First begotten makes him preeminent. That he's the first begotten of the dead means he's victorious. This is the one who is revealed. The one who reveals himself in the book of Revelation. The one who reveals himself is the ruler of all. We see again in verse 5, he is the prince of the kings of the earth. We see also in verse 5, the one who is revealed in the book of Revelation is the lover of our souls and the cleanser of our sins. It says, Jesus Christ, unto him who loved us. And that's a particular love. That is a distinctive love. And when did he love us? He loved us while we were in our sins. And what did he do? It says he washed us from our sins in his own blood. That is, out of love for our souls, he washed us from the filth. He washed us from the vileness. He washed us from the putridness of our sins. This is the one who reveals himself in the book of Revelation. He is the point of the book of Revelation. The one who reveals himself, notice in verse 6, is the one who has blessed us and hath made us kings and priests unto God. That is, he has made us a holy priesthood. He has brought us from a life of spiritual bankruptcy. He has brought us from a life of ruin and misery and gloom and defeat and disgrace. And he's made us a priesthood. This is the one who is being revealed in the book of Revelation. He also reveals himself in verse 7 as the anticipated one. Behold, he, that is the one who is declared in verses 5 and 6, cometh with clouds. And that, of course, is referring to his personal appearance on earth as conqueror, not the rapture. But he reveals himself as the anticipated one. He also reveals himself as one who is absolute completeness in everything. We read in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is also the one who reveals himself as the immutable one in verse 8, which is and which was and which is to come. That is, he is what he was, he is and will be, and what he was, he is. He's immutable. This is the one who reveals himself in the book of Revelation. So now we want to just behold Jesus, this one, Jesus Christ, revealing himself. And that we would be able to see, that we would be able to behold, that we would be able to feel and know the power of Jesus Christ revealing himself. Don't get hung up on the future. View the future by Christ. See Christ. And I think many times we lose sight of Christ. So the actual revelation begins with Jesus or John hearing a voice in verse 10. We're told what the voice said in verse 11. And then in verse 12, I turned to see, and being turned, I saw. Mentioned seven golden candlesticks. But then he mentions in the midst of the seven candlesticks. He's not focused on the candlesticks. He's focused upon the one who stood in the midst of the candlesticks. And that is described in verses 13 through 16. Again, we're not going to spend much time on these things, but we read there of his clothing, which speaks of his priestly and kingly garments, picturing his dignity, picturing his honor and his high and noble position, which is characterized by righteousness and characterized by power and truth. In verse 14, we read of his head, signifying that he is the Ancient of Days. We read also of his eyes, signifying his all-seeing ability. We read in verse 15 of his feet, signifying his ability to trample his enemies. God's people get hung up on their enemies. And we need to see the one who's able to trample. There's his voice in verse 15, signifying his authority. We read of his right hand in verse 16, signifying his power and his authority. We read in verse 16 of his mouth, signifying his word to execute judgment and the ease in which he will execute judgment. There's his face in verse 16. Signifying his beauty and his glory. And all may we see. May we see what John saw that day. But as he goes on, he reveals himself. We see he reveals here in verses 13 through 16 the glory of his person. But then in verse 17, he reveals himself as the encourager of his people. We see the result of John seeing this one standing in the midst of the candlesticks in verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And that is followed by, and he laid his right hand upon me in a very comforting and assuring way, saying unto me, again, in a very comforting and assuring way, fear not. Fear not. God's people need to hear those words today. Amen. Yes. Need to hear those words. Oh, what's going to happen in the next election? Hear those words. Fear night. And to encourage John not to fear, he revealed himself again. He began to unveil his deity. He said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth." Jesus is revealing himself. He's saying, "John, fear not, I am everything. I am God. I am the living one. Fear not. Fear not." And as you watch things transpire today, we need to see Jesus. I am the first and the last, and he that liveth. We see also that he reveals to encourage John. He says, "And I'm alive forevermore." Or first of all, let's back up. He reveals himself. He says, "I and was dead." And then to take that a little further, "I am always victorious. I am alive forevermore." And then you notice the next word, "Amen." In other words, this is absolute certainty. He reveals himself in order to encourage John as one with absolute authority and dominion. He says, "And I have the keys of hell and death." And he still does. He still does. And all of this was to encourage John. So Jesus reveals himself as the encourager of his people. He also reveals himself as the Lord of his churches. He reveals himself in the midst of his churches. And he is holding in his right hand the pastors of those churches. And I believe he still does. His churches are precious to him. And therefore he uses the symbolism of golden candlesticks. They're precious. The Lord's churches are still precious to him. He also reveals himself here as the controller of his churches, as the controller of his men, as the protector of his churches, as the protector of his men. He reveals in chapters 2 and 3 that he is the one who knows his churches, and he is the one who has a message for his churches. And that's still true today. We don't need a new message. He has the message for his churches. And he is the one that his churches need. And you read chapters 2 and 3. And again, he unveils himself to each one of his churches. To each one of his churches, he is saying, "I am Jesus, and I am who you need." And that's still true today. Jesus Christ revealing himself as the Lord of his churches. If you go over to chapter 5, he reveals himself as the prevailing fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. In chapter 5, we come upon a scene and we find John weeping. He says in verse 4 that, "I wept much." But in verse 5, as John is weeping, there come these words, "Weep not." That is, "John, do not despair. Do not be downhearted. Do not be discouraged." And then that is followed by instruction. "Behold." Behold. In other words, "John, I want to show you something. Don't be discouraged. I want to show you something. Don't be discouraged, John. You got to see this. Behold." Followed by the reason not to be given over to despair. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. A title of might. A title of power. Indicative of the qualifications of the Redeemer, the Defender, and the Restorer of Israel. And then he goes on to say, and the root of David, indicating his kingly roots. Now both of these titles are Old Testament prophecies concerning Christ. And then notice, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. That is, John, do not be discouraged. The one who is pointed to throughout all the Old Testament, the one to whom all fingers are pointed in the Old Testament, John, he is won. He is won. He has come out on top. He has overcome. Do not be discouraged. Christ is revealing himself, or Christ is revealed as the prevailing fulfillment of the Old Testament. You go on in chapter 5 and he reveals himself as the conquering, triumphant, reigning, worthy one to carry out the judgments of God. Revelation chapter 5, John is introduced to a seven-sealed book. That book contains the judgments of God upon the earth. The book is sealed. To open the scroll is to complete the plan and purposes of God to bring about their culmination. No open scroll means no open triumph. So there's this seven-sealed book. It's sealed. John is also brought face to face with the fact that amongst all the sinless angels, amongst all the redeemed, none were qualified, nor did any deserve, to open this book and to carry out the judgments of God. None in all of heaven were qualified or deserving to be the administrator of God's purpose in judgment. John was made to know this. John was made to deeply feel this. And he began to weep. But as he was weeping, unveiled is God's provision. Unveiled is God's remedy and God's solution. The triumphant and reigning Christ. Again, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals, the seven seals thereof. He is revealed as the one worthy to administer the judgments of God upon the earth. And then in chapter 6 and chapter 8, concerning this, we see that he is the administrator of the judgments of God upon earth. You can read down through chapter 6, but in verse 1 it says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. And you just keep on reading. Verse 3, and he, when he had opened, that is the Lamb, the second seal, and then you see the third, the fourth, the fifth, and you come to chapter 8 and you see the seventh. Who's in control? It's Christ. It's Christ. Who's in control now? Same one.
Amen.
During the tribulation period, and all those judgments are being poured out upon the earth. He's the administrator of those judgments. At one point, they seek to flee from the face of the Lamb, but there's nowhere to hide. He's the administrator of the judgments of God. He's in control. In other words, he's triumphant. He also reveals himself in chapter 5 as the Lamb of God. In verse 6 it says, as I beheld, that is, as I observed, and he says, and lo, indicating that the next words are a shout of exclamation. as a result of amazement, as a result of wonder, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. He reveals himself as a Lamb of God. This lamb, by the way, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This lamb is the root of David. And this lamb has prevailed. And really, the central thought throughout the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ is the lamb. It occurs over and over and over. Notice that this lamb is alive. He stood in the midst. This lamb, of course, speaks of the living offering of God. Notice also he's upright. He's not in a position of defeat. In the midst stood a lamb. In the midst stood. He's still prevailing.
Amen.
And he's still prevailing today. And he'll prevail all through the tribulation period. Still prevailing as a lamb. He's presented here as the sacrificial, the victorious sacrifice of God. You notice also that he has the wounds of death. A lamb as it had been slain. Those wounds, of course, speak of his love. It speak of a price paid for our souls. We need to see Christ as the Lamb of God. He also reveals himself in chapter 17 and verse 14 as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In chapter 19 and verse 7, he reveals himself as the bridegroom. We read there that the marriage of the Lamb is come. You know, in our culture, in a marriage, in a wedding, most of the focus is on the bride. It won't be the case here. The focus is on the bridegroom. The marriage of the Lamb is come. Again, this shows that he's the lover of his churches. He's the provider of his churches. He's the protector of his churches. We need to see that. We need to feel that. We need to know that. We see also he is the coming conqueror. Chapter 19, verses 11 through verse 16. And we certainly don't have time to look at those verses, but in verse 11, he's called true. He's called faithful and true. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. And in verse 12, his eyes are as a flame of fire, a revelation of his devouring power. And on his head, the same head that was spit upon, the same head that was crowned with thorns, upon his head were many crowns. Crowns of dominion, crowns of conquest, crowns of thanksgiving. We see him there as the coming conqueror. We need to view Jesus that way today. He's the coming conqueror. He also reveals himself as judge. You see this in several places, but in chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, we have a picture of the most dreadful of all gatherings, the great white throne judgment of unsaved sinners. It is what is referred to in John 5:29 as the resurrection of damnation. It is the unsaved sinner's day in God's court. Nothing more dreadful. Nothing more dreadful. Upon that throne of judgment sits Christ. And he is unveiled as the judge. Can you imagine being a lost sinner standing before this great white throne and unveiled is Christ. And he is unveiled as judge. He who has no sin. He who there is not a single fault, a single flaw, a single defect, a single blemish. He's the judge. He who is the very essence of holiness and justice and truth. He is the sin-offended God. And He's unveiled as the judge. We need to see Christ as the judge. Revelation 22 and verse 13, He reveals Himself as everything. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I'm everything. Oh, that we could get a hold of that today.
Yes.
He's everything. He's everything. Jesus reveals that of Himself all through the Bible. He's everything. He's also the promise. He reveals Himself as the promise of a new day. Chapter 22 and verse 16, He says, I am the bright and morning star. Beginning of a new day. No, there's a message there also. He reveals Himself as the coming one. Chapter 22, verse 7 and 12, behold, I come quickly. Verse 20, surely I come quickly. So Jesus leaves us with this revelation of Himself. I'm the coming one. I'm coming. We must not lose sight of that. And when He comes, for you and I that are saved, what a day of rescue that will be. What a day of revelation. What a day of rejoicing, because when He comes, 1 John 3 verse 2, we shall see Him as He is. Today we see Him through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. So again, we go back to Revelation 1 and verse 1. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the revealer, and He is the revealed. And oh, how we need to see Jesus in such a way that it would raise us from despondency. That it would raise us from pessimism. And that we would see Him in such a way that it would absolutely consume us. That it would overwhelm us. That we would behold Him in awe and wonder, filling us with a sense of certainty. I know everything is going to be okay. How do you know that? I can see Him. Everything is okay. We can see Him. We can see Him. Yes, we are in the last days of the last days, if you will. And these are difficult times. But for you and I that are saved, it's okay. Because through it all, there He is. There He is. We can see Him. Again, we see that when John saw Him, what happened? He fell at His feet as dead. How do we know when we see Jesus, we'll do the same thing? We'll fall at His feet as dead. What does that mean? Well, it means that it'll take the self-life away. When you and I see Jesus, when we really see Him, we'll become dead. That is, self will die within us. Oh, we need to see Him. We need to see Him all through the Word of God. We need to look for Him all through the Word of God. When we come to the book of Revelation, Revelation is a conclusion of the Word of God. Now, if you are writing an essay, if you are writing a book, when you come to your conclusion, you don't present anything new. That's not the purpose of a conclusion. Revelation does not present anything new. It is the conclusion of the book, which is what? A revelation of Jesus Christ, the ring.